Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Friday night here on KCRW. Hope you had a good week. I had a wonderful week. I got to be backstage at Comic Relief, which was a lot of fun. It was a wonderful experience, and I got a lot of neat stuff on tape, which I will be broadcasting as part of a show in January. But I also recorded some stuff which I'm going to use today, and I'll tell you why. Today's program has to do with space. Now, obviously, in the early 60s, when we first had a space program, it was front page news, and it was all anybody was talking about, and that was what all the comedians and purveyors of comedy records were talking about. And suddenly, there was a rash of routines about astronauts. And the most famous piece about an astronaut is the Bill Dana Jose Jimenez routine. Now, I have never played Bill Dana's Jose Jimenez on the air for one simple reason. I found it to be a stereotype, an unflattering Hispanic stereotype, and I thought, apart from the fact that I feared complaints, I also primarily just thought it was not something good along those lines. However, at Comic Relief, I had a chance, as part of a press conference, to interview Bill Dana on the subject, and I thought that if I presented his comments in front of playing this piece, you can come to your own conclusion. So what you will hear is a brief conversation with Bill Dana on the subject of whether or not Jose Jimenez is a stereotype, and then you hear the piece yourself and decide for yourself. See what you think. I'm not sure I've changed my mind about it, but see what you think. At the time, this was a massive hit. You couldn't go anywhere without anybody just, my name, Jose Jimenez, everybody was doing it. It was on the lips of everyone in the country. Like 1962 or 63 or so. I'm not exactly sure of the date. And we'll follow that with some other astronautical humor from the likes of Charlie Manna. Now, there's somebody who has sort of disappeared from the scene, and this is another routine. The astronaut saying, I want my crayons, was another thing that just swept the country all at once, and everywhere you went, people were doing that. We'll also hear from Alan Sherman and Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, and whoever else there's time for. But let's start off, as I said, with my little interview with Bill Dana.
Have you received much flack from the Hispanic community for Jose Jimenez?
What time is it? No. Toward the end of the 60s, it was sort of a strange dichotomy. I was very active personally as Bill Dana in the cause of Hispanic anti-defamation. And at the same time, they lumped Jose Jimenez in with a lot of the unkind caricatures of Hispanics. At that particular time, the only representation that the Hispanics had in the media was either the cha-cha-cha Latino or the Latin lover or something. One of the things, whether one liked Jose Jimenez or not, one of the things that I was always adamant about is that he was not a stereotype.
Bill, the guy that asked the question left.
Yeah, an hour ago. There he is.
Do you feel any remorse for that at all?
That he wasn't a stereotype?
For that whole episode?
No. My biggest fans have always been people with Hispanic surnames. None whatsoever. No reason for it.
A new policy here at the Hungry Eye is to bring you people who are in the news currently, and the gentleman you're about to meet could possibly be the most important man in any of our lives. He's the United States Air Force officer who has been chosen to be the first man sent into outer space. I'm referring to the chief astronaut with the United States Interplanetary Expeditionary Force, and here he is now. How do you do, sir? May we have your name?
My name, Jose Jimenez.
And you're the chief astronaut with the United States Interplanetary Expeditionary Force?
I am the chief astronaut. With the United States Interplanetary. My name is Jose Jimenez.
Mr. Jimenez, could you tell us a little about your spacesuit?
Yeah. It's very uncomfortable.
How much did the spacesuit cost?
That spacesuit cost $18,000.
$18,000?
Yeah.
That seems rather expensive.
Well, it has two pair of pants. that's only $9,000.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been noticing this, Mr. Jimenez. What is this called? A crash helmet?
Oh, I hope not.
What are the physical qualities that they look for in an astronaut?
The physical quality they look for in the astronaut. You got to have the perfect hearing. You got to have the perfect vision. You got to have the normal blood pressure. You got to have four legs.
You have to have four legs?
Yeah, they were going to send a dog, but they thought that would be too cruel.
Mr. Jimenez, you must have some opinions on the race for space.
All right, I will. I got one.
Good. What do you think of Vanguard 1 and Jupiter 2?
That was a pretty close game. I thought for sure the Vanguard was going to take it.
It was close, yes.
But you were reading the papers about it.
I know. Now, tell me, Jose.
I'll tell you, Jose.
Tell me.
Yes, I'll tell you. You just ask me, and I tell you.
All right. Were you a participant at any of the rocket launchings at Cape Canaveral?
I was a participant at any of the rocket launchings at Cape Canaveral. I was there when they opened the door into the nose cone, they took that mouth, and they put that mouth inside the nose cone. Then they closed the door on that little mouth. I don't want to talk about it.
Please, Mr. Mendes, please, let's try to continue here. I want to ask you, what is the most important thing in rocket travel?
To me, the most important thing in the rocket travel is the blast off.
The blast off.
I always take a blast before I take off. Otherwise, I wouldn't get in that thing.
Well, after that, what is the procedure in taking off?
The procedure after that in taking off, you got to put on a step-up hydraulic double dynamo reversible booster. You got to activate the decompression activator. And you got to put on the anti-magnetic decousing system.
And then you're really up there.
No, that opens the door. And lets out that little mouth.
Let's talk about the rockets themselves.
Well, I had trouble once with one of the rockets.
At Cape Canaveral?
No, at the Radio City Music Hall. Something about separate maintenance.
Yes.
I don't know.
Let's change the subject.
Okay, if you know how.
Let's talk about the actual rocket trip.
Okay.
By the way, do you know it's costing the government $7 billion to send you on this trip into outer space?
That's not my fault. I told them I was willing to go tourist. And they said it's such a long trip, go first class, and that's what adds up.
Okay, do you think the...
Overweight baggage, you know.
Do you think there will be life on Mars?
Maybe if I land on a Saturday night. Something might be happening. Otherwise, I'm going to bring a book.
That's something I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Jimenez. Of course, it's a very long trip into outer space.
Yes, it's a long trip.
And I just wonder what you'll do to entertain yourself during those long, lonely, solitary hours when you're all by yourself.
Well, I plan to cry a lot.
I I would imagine that food is a major problem on a trip into outer space.
I would imagine that food is a major problem on a trip into outer space. And it is, you know. They only allowed you to have the 10 ounces of food.
Only 10 ounces of food?
That's right.
Well, how will you manage?
I'll eat out.
After you've been into outer space, Mr. Menes, and you return to Earth, where will you be landing?
I am going to be landing in Nevada.
In the state of Nevada?
In the state of Nevada.
Then you're convinced that they'll get you back to Earth?
I am convinced that they will get me back to Earth.
Good.
Just how far into it? That's what I'm not convinced about.
Well, surely they've made some provisions to break your fall.
To break my fall?
Yes.
Sure, Nevada.
Well, Mr. Jimenez, I think you're certainly to be congratulated for this very, very dangerous undertaking.
Well, don't say undertaking.
Mission. This very dangerous mission.
That's a better choice of words.
And before you go...
Don't even say go.
Before that, I just wonder if there are a few words that you'd like to say to the people of the United States.
Yeah, there are a few words that I'd like to say.
Please go ahead.
People of the United States. People of the United States, America. Please don't let them do this to me.
We have our tape recorder set up at an Army base. We can't tell you exactly where for security reasons. We're going to speak to some of the men who are billeted at the base. Sir, may we speak to you?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah, sure you can. What do you want to say? Say it fast. They'll catch us.
Sir, we were not going to say anything that will be against security.
Sure.
What do you do here at the base, sir?
I'm an astronaut.
Are you, sir, one of the seven astronauts who have been chosen?
That's right. I'm one of the seven. They're going to shoot me out into space, into the blue.
Now, wait.
Up above buildings.
Now, sir, just one moment. One moment.
I
seem to have...
I'm a little nervous. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my life. That's why I'm...
Yes. Well, sir, may I ask you something?
Sure.
I saw the pictures of the seven astronauts that appeared in Life magazine.
Oh, yeah, you saw those pictures, yeah.
You are not among them.
None of them are them.
I mean, those are not the real...
No, those are models. You see, they can't take pictures of us. We're monkeys, man.
What do you mean you're monkeys?
Well... Let me explain something.
Those are seven handsome men.
They're seven beautiful men.
In life,
as a matter of fact, one of them is very beautiful. That's none of your business. None of my business. Now, those seven guys, they're models, see?
You mean they're not really
no,
flyers?
No, they're not really flyers. They're models. They say Commander Robert L. Jones. That's not Commander Robert L. Jones.
You are?
That's Estelle Winwood. God knows who he is. Who knows who he is?
You mean,
but they're models. See, they're beautiful. They take pictures of them so that we're not ashamed for Russia to show such ugly little astronauts.
You're not a very good-looking man, is
it? No, I'm a monkey. I'm very close to... I'll tell you why. Well, I was cleaning the latrine here at the base, see?
Oh.
And the general came in to wash his hands, see? And he looked at me and he said, you know, you look like a monkey. I said, thank you, sir. That's what you say to them when they insult you, see? Otherwise...
Now, how do you...
Otherwise, they stick their fingers in your nose and rip it off your face. They're tough. That's how you get to be a general. You're cruel and you're tough.
Now,
you
sir,
know, a general pulled my tooth out once in a parade ground, stuck his hand in my mouth, said... said, here's your tooth, son. Whack! And pulled it out of my mouth. You know why?
Why?
Because I giggled. You don't giggle when a four-star general goes by.
Now, sir, when are you going up into space?
Thursday. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have told you that.
Why not?
Well, that's supposed to be a military secret.
Oh, well...
Forget I said it. Tuesday. Say Tuesday.
Tuesday.
We're going up Tuesday.
You're going up Tuesday.
We're going up to space Tuesday,
Tuesday
right?
Yes.
Tuesday about 4 o'clock. Yes. Actually, it's Thursday. Fine.
Well, sir, I don't think I should be hearing all this.
Well, that's all right. I'm going to die anyway. I don't care.
Sir, are you really...
I haven't got a chance.
You...
It's very cold up there. And
have you ever been up on a test run?
Yes, they have a machine here at the base, see? And they strap you in the machine and they whirl you around for about 3 or 4 minutes. That's all you can take. And then you puke your guts out. It's a terrible machine, see? Great machine. I puke my guts out every time I ride it. I can't take it. I'm nauseated 3 out of 4 hours in the day, in your 24-hour cycle. I had to learn all that.
Yes.
I had to learn the cycle of the moon and sun. Do you know that the earth does not revolve around the sun? Wait a minute.
It does.
Yeah, wait. The moon doesn't revolve around the sun.
No, sir.
Wait a minute. We all revolve around the sun.
Now, I'm a little disturbed.
16 out of 19 people revolve around the sun.
Sir, I'm a little disturbed that they're sending you up to be the first man in space. You seem ill-equipped to be an astronaut.
What do you mean? I got gloves and everything.
I mean intellectual.
I've got a heavy fur hat.
I mean,
I've got goggles and everything. Excuse me, now I've got to get in the machine and puke my guts out.
Pleasure.
It's been wonderful working with you. So long.
You certainly did struck it.
My name is Mr. Bloom, and I'm from New Rochelle. And I sing this happy tune because my son, the astronaut, young Harvey Bloom, has landed on the moon. My wife and I, we miss our little Harvey so, back here in New Rochelle, that every single night, in the pale moonlight, we walk out on the patio and yell, shine on, shine on Harvey Bloom. Up in the sky, you have been in orbit since January, February, June, and July. Don't come back too soon. We rented out your room. So shine on Harvey Bloom. Up there on the moon. We'll miss you on the holidays. This year they're coming later. We hope you have a very lovely Seder in your crater. Your mama sent the astronauts some chicken soup at school. They're using it instead of rocket fuel. If you like outer space, you ought to see your sister Janet. She came in with a hairdo that is from another planet. Your girlfriend surely misses you. The Air Force says she had a temper tantrum on the launching pad.
Shine on Harvey Bloom.
Up in the sky. Under separate cover, I'm sending you some pickles and a corned beef on rye. You brought Bromo Seltzer with you, I presume.
So dine on Harvey Bloom.
Harvey Bloom is on the moon. Oh, yeah.
The most publicized figure today is the astronaut. He is the hero of the 20th century. Our astronauts are highly intelligent, disciplined, and skilled. They've been subjected to the most rigorous testing and training in the history of aviation. But do we know everything about them? I don't think so. After all, they're human, and as human beings, they have their own individual quirks which no amount of testing can uncover. So, keeping this in mind, let's go to Cape Canaveral, where an astronaut is about to be launched into space.
Captain Cartwright, this is Control calling Captain Cartwright. This is Control calling Captain Cartwright.
This is Captain Cartwright, Control.
Captain, we're minus 4 minutes. Give me your final cockpit check.
Roger, Control. Oxygen tanks filled. Automatic gyro controls activated. Boost is ready. Instruments all checked. Yes, everything is set. Wait a minute, wait just a minute.
Is there anything wrong, sir?
Yes, I can't find my crayons.
Can't find your what, sir?
My crayons. Somebody took my crayons.
For a minute, I thought you said somebody took your crayons, sir.
That's what I said. Who the heck's been in here?
Well, just the ground crew, sir, but I don't think...
But nothing. Why should a guy take another guy's crayon?
Sir, are you sure they're lost? Maybe they...
Control, I know when I lost my crayon. Somebody stole them. I left them right next to my Hansel and Gretel coloring book.
Sir, are they really that important?
Important? What the heck good's a coloring book without crayon?
Well, I could send one of the men down to the PX to buy you another box of crayons.
Nothing doing. I want my crayon.
Minus 3 minutes.
I ain't going anywhere without my crayon.
Well, just a minute, sir.
Attention on the launching pad. Attention on the launching pad. A box of crayons is missing from the Atlas VI. These crayons are the personal property of Captain Cartwright.
My mother gave me those crayons.
His mother gave him those crayons.
That was personal, Control. You didn't have to tell him that.
Scratch his mother. All ground personnel spread out and police the area for a box of crayons.
Sir, I think they picked up something.
Are they crayons? Wonderful.
Ask them if there's a green, an orange, and two blacks in it.
Is there a green, an orange, and two blacks in it?
There's no orange, sir.
Then they're not my crayons.
What the devil's going on here, Control? What's holding up the works? Oh, General, I was just about to call you, sir. It's Captain Cartwright. He can't find his crayons. Can't find his what, Sergeant? His crayons, and he won't take off without them, sir. Crayons? Are they important, Sergeant? Important? What the heck is a coloring book without crayons, sir? You're all gone out of your mind. Hand me that microphone, Control. Captain Cartwright, this is General Ross. I order you to stop this nonsense about a stupid box of crayons and prepare for takeoff.
Well, General, maybe you better get yourself another box.
Now, wait a minute, Jimmy, baby. Let's forget about rank for a second.
Okay, Seymour.
Jimmy boy! Do you realize the importance of this flight? For 10 years, the government has spent billions of dollars preparing for this big moment. Jimmy, people all over the free world are anxiously awaiting the results of this flight. Don't you realize what that means? You're about to become a national hero, Jimmy. What more do you want?
I want my crayon, that's all I want.
Captain, we don't have your... Wait a minute, Jimmy, baby. Would you be interested in a nice tinker toy?
General, who the devil do you think you're dealing with, a kid?
Now, look here.
Minus 1 minute.
Professor von Strom, you designed the ship. Maybe you can talk to him.
Yes, of course. Perhaps I can persuade him. Probably just nerves, huh? May I have some microphone keys?
Captain Cartwright. Yeah, what do you want, Professor? Captain, you have relatives now living in Germany? No, I don't, Professor.
Well, I tried, General. Used to work in the old days.
Minus 30 seconds.
Now, either I get my crayons or else.
10, 9, 8.
You guys can count from today till tomorrow, but...
6, 5, 4.
I ain't got
3, 2.
Wait a minute, fellas.
Fire!
I want my crayons.
And that was Charlie Manum with The Astronaut. And as I said, that was a major, major sensation when that hit. One wonders whatever happened to Charlie Manum. And let's see, before that we heard, I don't remember what the order was. Before that we heard Alan Sherman with the song Shine on Harvey Bloom about the astronaut Harvey Bloom from New Rochelle. And I am particularly fond of that because I am also from New Rochelle. And see, there are other things about New Rochelle than the fact that Rob and Laura Petrie came from there. That's all anybody ever says when you tell them that. Before that, we heard Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner with The Astronaut, and we started off with Bill Dana as Jose Jimenez with Jose the Astronaut. Something else to tell you about before we close out here. We have talked on this program on various occasions about the Roger Ramjet cartoon series from 1965 and 1966. And if you're interested in seeing a rare screening of 5 episodes of the Ramjet series with special guest Gary Owens, who will be on hand to introduce the cartoons and answer questions afterward. That will be part of the Los Angeles Science Fiction Convention, which will be held at the Pasadena Hilton at 150 South Los Robles in Pasadena on Friday, November 27th at 5 p.m. Admission is paid by admission to the convention. And for further information, I guess you call the Pasadena Hilton and find out who is running the science fiction convention, and they'll tell you to what degree they will lighten your wallet for admission to get in to see that. But that's just for your information. Tells you to want to know. We're not giving away tickets or anything. You don't have to call. 5 episodes of Roger Ramjet at the Los Angeles Science Fiction Convention at the Pasadena Hilton. And there will also be some other things later that night. There'll be some videotape of rare kid shows, and the next day some Superman cartoons and Snoopy sales things and all sorts of stuff. So that's of interest to you, possibly. Let's bring in the music here. For the next 2 weeks, we will be presenting the best of Stan Freberg, some rare stuff that you've never heard before and some well-known stuff which you probably have heard before, but all of it is wonderful. And in fact, I hope to include some rare stuff which a listener promised to send me. I'm not going to mention his name and embarrass him on the air here, but get with it, because we're doing the shows for the next 2 weeks. Stan Freberg for the next 2 weeks. And what else is there to tell you? You should be watching Frank's Place every Monday night at CBS. It is absolutely wonderful. It just gets better and better. It's about as good as television gets, I promise you. And this kind of good comedy should be encouraged, I believe. And what else? Also, Married with Children is on Fox on, I think it's Sunday nights. It's not the classiest show on television, but it may possibly be the funniest. It is awfully silly. My wife and I spent our anniversary at a taping of Married with Children, and everybody there thought it was the most twisted thing they'd ever heard of, but we had a great time anyway. So, let's see, that's about it. The address, Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R. KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. Please include a phone number so I can get a hold of you. And that's about it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.